Thank you for joining us this morning for the Central Message, brought to you by Central Park Church of Christ in Tilton, where we are transformed by Christ to transform our world. If you would like to listen to this message again or previous messages, as well as the Central Minutes, you can listen to them on our website, www.centralparkchurchofchrist.org. And now, the Central Message.
Well, good afternoon. I mean, we are still in this COVID situation, and, you know, I've had a lot of people talk to me over the past few weeks about the stay-home orders and church changes and challenges and all of the stuff going on. And, you know, I always try and find the positives in those situations. I'm a pretty positive person. I always try and find the positives in every situation. But with this, the best way that I could probably describe what we're going through is that we are pessimistically optimistic about reopening the church and when that's going to happen. You know, it is one of those strange times. And but I will tell you, there's one positive that I've already found during this COVID-19. I haven't seen one political campaign ad since COVID-19 started. I haven't seen one political campaign ad. I haven't heard on the radio. I see the signs and all of the posts, you know, in the yard and all that stuff. That's fine. But I haven't seen a single debate. I haven't seen a single campaign ad. I haven't heard it on the radio. I haven't seen it on TV. Nothing. It's been absolutely amazing. That's a positive. Keep that in mind. That got me to thinking about politics and the church and the pulpit. And, it, you know, this is going to end soon. And we are in the middle of this election phase. And I've had, you know, opening Facebook, I get this reminder that I'm supposed to apply for some mail-in ballot. I don't know what that means, but we'll figure that out as we go along. But like I said, the positive is fewer ads, fewer arguments, fewer disagreements politically. You can still see them on Facebook. If you open up your Facebook or Instagram, you'll see all of the complaints about the Republicans and the Democrats and vice versa and all of the stuff going on and who's for this and who's against it. And they're arguing and warring between each other, trying to prove themselves right and prove the other person wrong. And, it, you know, I get so tired of it and so frustrated with the whole political process. And, you know, the church, you may not know me politically yet, but one of the things I'm going to tell you is I'm coming to the realization that I am not Republican, nor am I Democrat. I don't hold to either one of those standards. I hold to the fact that I'm a Christian, I'm going to vote my conscience, and I'm going to pick the right candidate that fits what I best believe is the best for this country, for my state, for my city, and my county. And so I hope you do the same. I'm not telling you to be Republican or Democrat or Libertarian or Green Party or whatever. You know, I'm just telling you to think through some of these issues that are happening in our world today and think through them politically. You know, today's text is 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 through 2. And when we look at the political mess that we're in, the very first thing I want you to know is that the Bible itself does not speak in terms of Republican or Democrat. It just doesn't do it. Nor does it speak only to Americans. You know, most people would think that the Bible itself is written only to Americans, and thank goodness we're living in such a blessed country and a blessed nation and this and this and this and this and this. I struggle with that line of thought. I always have. That may shock you to hear that Jesus didn't just die for Americans. Jesus died for the world, the sins of a world, not just America. So let me maybe set this up for you just a little bit. Chapter one, you know, it's a great chapter teaching about false teachers and false prophets and the issues that are raised from going from group to group and house to house and church to church and trying to bring about corruption and chaos. And you know, Paul writes to this church. And he says, look, you are the true child of the faith. You should be able to withstand all of this stuff that's happening in your culture right now. You've been trained for this moment. You've been brought up into this for this reason. And he says, you need to keep an eye out on all of the things that are going on in your world and the struggles that you're facing in your church, in your communities, in your families, because of all of this stuff that's happening. And he says, there's going to be people that will rise up against you and they'll just say the opposite of you just to prove a point, whether they believe it or not. Now, that's just the norm. You know, I once had an elder that would always come to an elder's meeting and he would do that. And it just infuriated me. He would use this phrase, well, I'm just playing devil's advocate. Really? In church? In a church board meeting, you're going to be on Satan's side. Okay, that's a winner. Okay, so Paul begins to talk about this trustworthiness, and he says, the whole point is this. This saying is trustworthy and deserving of full acceptance, as he writes in chapter 1, verse 15. He says, Jesus came into the world to save sinners. But Paul didn't stop there. You know what he said at the end of that verse? Of whom I am the foremost. That's powerful. If you think about it in those terms where Paul is saying, look, this is a trustworthy saying that Jesus Christ came in the world to save sinners, and I'm the biggest sinner of them all. He's pointing back to himself. He's saying, let's address that issue first before we move on to anything else. He says, the only way that you're going to withstand those false teachers in chapter one, like Paul's talking about, is very simple. You need to deal with your own sickness. You need to deal with your own sin, your own shame, your own struggle, and then allowing God to work through you to bring about something very precious in your life. But I do think that the struggle here for them is that Paul is entrusting Timothy to truly go about this and wage this good warfare, holding faith and a good conscience. He's saying those two go hand in hand. But then at the end of chapter 1, in verse 19, he says that good faith and a good conscience, holding the faith and a good conscience, by rejecting this, some have made a shipwreck of their faith. A shipwreck of their faith. That's intriguing to me. A shipwreck of their faith. Now, revert back to the political process, and I'm telling you this right now. If you consider the political process and the direction we're headed, we are headed for a shipwreck. We are headed for troubled waters because we've taken Jesus out of it. We've somehow bought into this line and this lie that, well, Christianity has no place in the political arena. It's really about what's good for the people and all kinds of situations, you know, other denominations and other religions and other cults and all of this stuff. We have to make them feel welcome and comfortable. We've taken it to the point where Jesus is no longer even in the equation. It's the example of a shipwrecked life, you know, like what Paul is referring to at the end of verse 1 or chapter 1. He begins to talk about two people that have truly shipwrecked their life through blasphemy and the struggle that they had. And then you move on down to chapter 2, verses 1 and 2, which is our text. And Paul writes in this section, he's praying for all the people. He says, first of all, then I urge that supplications, that supplication word means begging humbly or earnestly for something. It's more than just asking. It's this humility in your heart, and you're earnestly asking for God to move in your life. And he goes on, he says, then prayers and intercessions or asking for things for others. He says, and thanksgiving be made for all the people. And here's the point in verse 2. For kings and all who are in high positions, that we may lead peaceful and quiet life, godly and dignified in every way. Let me say that again. That we may lead a peaceful and quiet life, godly and dignified in every way. Those things are pretty important to Paul. Because of the way that our world is headed for this shipwreck, I think we need to do basically four things. I think we need to do that supplication. It's personal. It's prayers requested for a need. It's reaching out to God and saying, God, you need to supply this for me. You need to do this. And I'm earnestly seeking a change in my life. I'm humbly asking you to do something different and powerful in my life. Secondly, I think we need prayers at church, prayers as acts of worship. I know we can't gather, but we're still the church. Are we praying for our political process? Are we praying that God would instill godly leaders over our nation? Are we using intercessory prayer and petitions, not just political petitions, but we're asking God to intercede on the behalf of someone else? Have you ever thought about just simply saying, you know what, God? President Trump needs our help. President Trump needs you. You ever thought about just saying, you know what? God, I'm going to lift up Nancy Pelosi or Joe Biden or, you know, any other names that you want to name out that are in the political arena today. If we don't do that, if we're not praying for them, we are truly headed for a shipwreck. We are truly headed for desperate times. Difficult moments in life. You think COVID's bad? Wait till we get some leaders that don't care about Christianity, that don't consider the path that this nation has forged on the backs of Christian ideals. That's going to be an interesting time. In verse 2, you know, think of it in this way. Here's the other positive thing. You haven't had to suffer through a presidential debate in a long time. That's a bonus. So no political ads, no political debates in a while. I mean, think of the last time you watched a political debate. Man, it was so peaceful and quiet and so godly and so uplifting and honoring and dignified in every way, wasn't it? No, it wasn't. It was a train wreck waiting to happen. They're yelling at each other back and forth, arguing their points, trying to make themselves look good so other people vote for them. You know what Paul has to say about that? For kings and all who are in high positions, we just want a peaceful and quiet, godly and dignified life. Can't we hold on to that? See, that's the point. You know, I understand in this country we don't have kings, but man, our politicians surely are acting like it sometimes, don't they? Then you go on down to verses 3 and 4. You know, he continues on. This is good. He's talking about that godly and dignified and peaceful and quiet life. He says, this is good, and it's pleasing in the sight of God, our Savior, who desires, this is the key, for all people to be saved and come to the knowledge of God. Of the truth. I want to challenge you to lift up our leaders. Paul says it is pleasing to the Lord for us to lift them up, to encourage them, to see them as God sees them. And simply pray that may they come to the knowledge of the truth. It doesn't say they know God before they were elected. It doesn't mention that in the text. It's not a requirement. But I pray for our politicians and our leaders. And I pray that our politicians and our leaders use their influence to lead people to Christ. That's the challenge, isn't it? Psalm 33, verse 12 simply says, "Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, the people whom he has chosen as his heritage." You know what that last word, heritage, means? Treasure. Listen, if we don't do something now, this country is headed for a shipwreck, just the way it is, because we have forsaken our heritage and lost our treasure. You see, here's how we avoid the crash. Personally, I want this to look something along the lines of that trustworthy saying that Jesus had. Jesus comes to save sinners, of which I am the chief. See, that's looking at us personally and saying, I know that I sin. I know that I need to be forgiven. Jesus, forgive me when I have failed you, when I have sinned against you, against the very Lordship, against that peaceful and quiet and godly and dignified life. I know I've chosen what is worse over what is good. Forgive me, Father, for I have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. But I also think there's a public element of this, and I think we need to be asking God, you know, to restore his right. Restore God to his rightful place as Lord and Savior of life. If we're not willing to do that publicly, what are we truly doing? You know how it is in church on Sundays when people come forward and they rededicate their life, or they give their life to Christ for the very first time and they're immersed into his kingdom. Man, that's a blessing to watch that unfold publicly. That's why they do it that way. It's not so we can put the spotlight on you. It's so we can put the spotlight on Jesus Christ and what he is doing in your life. And here, as the third element of this, not only is it personal, not only should it be public, but I think we need to recognize that we are the chosen people. And as chosen people, we need to claim that heritage that we once knew. That heritage of living that deep and strong, abiding faith in Jesus Christ. That heritage of that peaceful and quiet life. That heritage of godly and dignified life in every way. And what does Paul say? This is good and pleasing in the sight of the Lord. That's where we need to be living. In these very difficult times, in these shipwrecked moments of life, I think we need to find a way to trust Jesus Christ to guide us through this. See, he is that heritage. He is that treasure in which we seek. So maybe you're watching this for the very first time and you've never given your life to Christ. What I want to challenge you to do is accept him personally by simply saying, you know what, Lord, I am a sinner. I am that chief sinner that you died for. I know there's nothing I can do on my own to get rid of that baggage. Nothing I can do to change those moments. And give that to Jesus. Publicly, when you find the opportunity, maybe it's posting a comment underneath this that says, I love the Lord. I'm giving my life to Christ. I want to be baptized when the church gets back together. Or even if you don't want to wait till the church gets back together, you call me, you message me, and I guarantee you we'll take care of it. We'll lead you through these moments of accepting who Christ is and being immersed into his kingdom and that public confession of faith. But for those of us that have been Christians for a long time, I want us to be challenged to live as the chosen people that have that heritage, that are claiming that treasure of Jesus Christ. And I want you to be changing our world with that power, the power of the Holy Spirit. You can do this. You can recognize what Paul's talking about in the false teachers that come in the darkness and they want to challenge you. That whole political nightmare that we've been going through and will continue to go through in the coming days, years, months, whatever it takes. But if you hold to this, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, and if you hold on to this thought that you can, through supplication and prayer and intercession and thanksgiving, that you can lift others up and that you can change the very minds of kings, you can live that peaceful and quiet, godly life that is dignified in every way. That is the good message this morning, that yes, we have this pandemic struggle going on. No, we don't know when we're going to be able to reopen the church, but I'm telling you, there's still positive things happening in our world today, and His name is Jesus Christ. Won't you accept Him today? Won't you allow Him to transform your life in a very powerful way? Won't you give your life over to Him, being immersed into His kingdom? And won't you recognize today that you are the chosen, that you have a heritage, that treasure, and His name is Jesus Christ. May God bless you. I look forward to seeing you. We're going to pray and we'll close today. Father God, thank you so much for your love. Thank you that you sent Jesus Christ to die on our behalf, that He truly is that heritage, that treasure that we cling to, that through His death, His burial, and resurrection, we can live a dignified, peaceful, quiet, godly life before you. We seek to do that. We seek to honor you through our voting, through our political processes, through all of this stuff, through the COVID-19. We're praying and lifting them up. Those that are struggling with this illness, those who have lost jobs, those who are lost loved ones through this, Father. We know that there are people hurting, but we know that through your Spirit, you are with them. You are holding them even as we speak, changing them, loving on them, letting them know that you're there. Father, we thank you for your love. We thank you for your mercy. And we ask that you would lift up our president, our senators, all of our politicians, that you would be guiding them by your Spirit, that they would recognize that they are not kings, but that they have an agenda to uphold. And that agenda is nothing man-made, but that agenda is following you first and foremost. May you change their lives today. May you challenge them by the very grace and mercy of Jesus Christ. It's in His name we pray. And all God's people said, amen. Thank you. Look forward to seeing you soon.
Thank you for listening to our message today. If you have heard anything in this message that spoke to your heart, please don't let this moment pass. You can accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. This is an important decision, and I don't want an opportunity to pass for someone to come to God in need and to have all those needs met and sins forgiven. If you would like to accept Jesus into your heart today, you can do so right now. If you have chosen to follow Jesus today, it is important to be connected with fellow Christians in a real and personal way and to publicly profess your faith through baptism. If you don't have a church home, you are welcome to become part of the Central Park Church of Christ family. You may want to find a local congregation closer to your home. But whatever you do, find a place where you can learn and be spiritually nourished and where you can serve others. If you would like to speak to a minister, please contact the minister of your local church or call Central Park Church of Christ to speak to one of our ministers. Call the church office at 217-446-8947 and leave a message. Thank you for listening to the Central Message.